I'm really delighted to have on the phone Anton Ritz, the owner of Mint Fresh, the IGA, or one of them, at Borkham Hills in Arthur Street. And it's really great to have you on the line. Good morning to you, Anton.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Jim, Darren, really appreciate it.
Well, we're really delighted to have you. I know Darren loves his coffee from your wonderful people who make fantastic coffee. And, in fact, we were there on our way coming to the studio this morning getting them.
Wonderful. I hope it was good. I hope you enjoyed your coffee and you didn't have to wait too long.
No. It's quite busy there with takeaway still, I must say. So that's one good benefit for, all the small businesses like yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We always think, we always say that if you do something well, you'll be remembered for it. And, one of the things that we can touch, the community through in that business is the coffee. And we always aim for 10 out of 10 in every single coffee that we make.
Well, it's very interesting you should say that. We've got a whole range of questions to go through, but just as an observation, your staff, if we can just say, it seems seamless. People want their coffee straight away. You're really, really busy, which is fantastic, but it is not an issue or a problem and everyone is so happy. And I noticed on their faces coming to your store and moving away from there. But let's just move on. Anton, growing up, where did you grow up and what school did you go to and how was that experience?
Look, it was a while ago, 20-year mark, but I can kind of, my best memories, the strongest memories were from high school. I grew up in Granville, and I went to St. Patrick's, Strathfield, and my best memories were from that time, playing football and, spending time with my friends and kind of growing up. I then went on to Sydney Uni, so... And I've got some great memories also from attending uni. It was a wonderful time. It was a very relaxed time. You could go down to the beach or come back and do your classes or head off to Newtown and, it was the first time I tried Asian food, properly. Had Thai food, Chinese food, it was a very much a cultural experience. And I think that was wonderful to be able to do that.
Thanks for sharing that. And I really just want to put an overlay even on that. The role of your parents in that equation, how did they influence your life? Because clearly they made big decisions and sacrifice to send you to some Pats and then you went to Sydney Uni and so on, and that's your own skills and talents. But clearly on that journey, your mum and dad played an integral role.
Yeah, absolutely, and they still do today. But I think, the important thing here is obviously I'm a son of a migrant family and when migrants come to Australia, they actually, I was 9 years old when we came out too, but when they come to Australia, they really think, well, we've made this huge sacrifice. We're just going to do the best we can now in order for our kids to push and to go forward, because ultimately they don't have the chance to do it all over again. They can't go to school and uni again, especially if they come out as older migrants with a young family. So, absolutely. It's the sacrifices our parents made for us are critical, and it pushed us forward. We appreciated that, and we felt, the pressure and the urge to make sure that we worked hard and we got the most out of the investments that they made into our education in order to be able to succeed. It was a critical part of what we did, definitely.
And can I just say, Anton, thanks for sharing that, because family, we hear everyone saying family's important, but what I'm hearing is what I call a demonstration. Your parents made the sacrifices, they showed you love and care, and at times that may have been challenging within the boundaries of who you are, but it's led you to be who you are today.
Oh, look, it's absolutely financially challenging. Often migrant families are not high income earning, and it's living in Granville and, having to work. Both parents were working. Whatever they saved, they invested. There's three of us. There's three children in the family, and all three of us went through, good schools and went to uni. And, there's a lot of sacrifices made. I remember all the, kids at school had like Reebok pumps or Nike Airs, and I couldn't have them, which was fine. I understood why, but it was fine. Things like that, and obviously saving up for school fees and all that type of stuff came all along with it, and there's things that you learn from that we try and instill in our kids today, although their scenario is a little bit different, but we try and instill those things into our kids, the appreciation for the sacrifice.
That's very important, Antoine. It's Darren here. That idea of sacrifice for what you have done to achieve. Walk us through how you come from being educated as part of that sacrifice that your parents and your family made into small business and into a co-owner of a franchise of RGA here in the local Hills District.
Sure. So, you know, it's always interesting, I guess, when you go to uni and if you come from a migrant family, there's always this push to, you know, become, you know, an accountant, become a lawyer, become a doctor or, you know, some sort of professional thing, right? And I went down that path and I'm an accountant and, you know, I worked in the industry and what I did was I was always excited and interested in working in commercial accounting. And so I ended up working for companies like Nestle and Procter & Gamble. And I worked in those companies for a long time as a bit of a career there in accounting and in financial roles. And I learned a lot about the industry. I learned a lot about food and product. But what I also found out was I found out that I'm very passionate about, you know, food and quality. And that, I think, comes also from the family environment and from our culture where, you know, food is central to family gatherings. It's central to meeting people. You know, you meet over a meal. And often it can't just be any meal. You know, the food has to have quality. It has to have standards. And so, you know, working in those big companies taught something about the professional part of operating businesses and the professional part of providing the consumer with a high-quality product and consistency. And so, you know, over time, I kind of started to feel like, well, you know, I really want to do something for myself. I want to work for myself. And to be honest, you know, I struggled a little bit with the corporate culture. When I got into senior roles, it was a little bit of a struggle. I felt like I'd probably do better on my own, you know, where I was my own boss. And it's something my brother shared. You know, obviously the business is owned by myself and Richard, my brother. So, you know, it's something we both shared. And so we had the opportunity when Franklin's, I don't know if, do you guys remember Franklin's Supermarket?
Sure do.
Wow, yes. So, just.
Yeah.
Very so clearly.
Franklin's Supermarkets came up for sale, you know, we participated in a process where we were able to acquire some Franklin stores. And we bought two Franklin stores, two underperforming, loss-making Franklin stores. And, you know, that's really where we earned our stripes in retail, you know, in retail. Both my brother and I, every day working in stores, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. And we had to turn those stores around because they were loss-making. We had to make sure that they, you know, after a period of time, they made money. So it was pretty tough, and one of those stores was in Warrington and the other one was at Westleigh. And, you know, we worked our asses off trying to get those, and that's where we learned a lot about, you know, what you see today in our business. And that's really the journey, you know, that's the journey. So,
But I think part of that journey, and I'll finish up on this in Snowpeak and we'll come back and ask some more really important questions, is that entrepreneurs can find embedded value and then work on it using their skill and hard work. And I think that's a skill in itself to buy that underperforming asset and move forward on it. So I think your parents would have taught you that of hard work and so on, that you need to continue to do that. This is a great story, and we're really delighted, Anton, to have you on our show this morning. You do a great job for local people. You employ people. It's just a really good story to start off our show today. We'll be back in about 4 or 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, after this little break with Darren and Jim on 90.5 on Spotlight.
And here's some AC/DC TNT.
Alive 90.5.
It's 20 minutes past 10. Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's really great to have on the line Anton Rich, the owner and co-owner of Mint Fresh IGA at Baulkham Hills, that serves the best coffee. There you go, the best coffee, Anton, around, and the people and staff are just wonderful, and it's a great experience to be there. We're talking about a whole range of things, and I don't think you have to be Albert Einstein or be lived under a shell, but businesses have been clearly affected with regards to COVID, and none other than the hospitality, none other than the food and so on industries. Your business continues to do well, and congratulations. What skills do you think businesses and what things should they be looking at the moment, Anton? Because it's a pretty tough battleground out there at the moment.
Well, absolutely. I mean, these are unprecedented times. You know, you can't really tell what's going to happen. Currently, we can't even forecast which days are busier than other days. You know, previously, our Mondays were the busiest day. Now it's Friday. You know, things are changing a lot. I think, you know, in terms of business, ultimately, whether it's now or at any time, and that, this is something we've learned from COVID. It doesn't matter whether you have COVID or you don't have COVID or you don't have some sort of pandemic. Ultimately, integrity is the most critical thing about, you know, being in small business. Having integrity and showing that through your products and services is something that cuts through to customers.
And Anton, can I ask you, sorry, because that's a very important concept. What do you mean by the term integrity? Because we all have definitions of things, but your personal and cultural organization, as you say, requires integrity. What do you mean by that construct or by that concept?
Look, I think that what that means is it means doing the right thing by all your stakeholders. And your stakeholders are not just customers. You know, there's also your employees. They're also your suppliers. You know, so it's things like, for example, paying suppliers on time. You know, that's something that, you know, resonates. You know, when you need that supplier, the time will come. They want to come in and do a demonstration on sourdough bread or on crackers, or they want to do a demonstration on dips. You know, they will prioritize you. You know, they're going to give you that support. Integrity when it comes to your staff, you know, doing the right thing by your staff, you know, making sure that they're paid correctly, making sure that they're happy in their workplace, you know, spending the time to know about them and their family and what they do, you know, is an important part. And that's proven to be critical for us in COVID because we know our staff, we're confident that, you know, our staff, most of which have now become vaccinated, are actually quite, you know, we're quite confident in their abilities. We're confident in where they're coming from. We know that they're not out, you know, meeting people when they shouldn't be. So it's an important part. And when it comes to integrity with your customer, I mean, that's critical because people are not dumb. They know. They know when you try and pull the wool over their eyes. And if you're in a business for the long term, you need to provide customers, you know, with the right quality and the right pricing. And you also have to fulfill on your promises. So if you say, you know, I'm going to deliver this product to you at this particular time, you have to do it. And excuses are not acceptable. And when it comes to things like, you know, we've now launched online shopping. We actually launched it a year ago, you know, but we've been pushing it. You know, we've also launched groceries now with Uber as well, which is another thing. So, you know, everything we're doing, we're doing it, we're trying to do it as good as possible, as well as possible, and get it right the first time. First time quality is really important. For example, with Fresh, what we do is we have a 200% freshness guarantee. So if you buy something from us, you buy an apple or a watermelon and there's something wrong with it, if you bring it back, we'll give you your money back and we'll replace it for free. And that's something that we do for all our customers.
And
that's what I mean.
And that type of promise, if you like, that type of integrity stands you in good stead. The situation we have at the moment is by definition here. You can't change that. But you can change those things that you're talking about. I want to congratulate you for having that as foresight as a leader.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree with Jim there. Congratulations on those skills that you're talking about that you need in any business. And you've mentioned integrity and quality. Are there other skills that you think people who want to come into small business in this day and age, COVID and the like, what other skills do you think people should look at when they're starting their small business?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, it always annoys me when I hear that statistic about the failure rate of small business, you know, and it's, I'm glad I have the opportunity to say this on air. You know, I think business acumen is a critical thing. Having basic financial knowledge of business is important. You shouldn't go into business unless you already have good business acumen. It's not enough to rely on people around you that might have that business acumen. You need to have it yourself. And as a director of a business, you're responsible. And that's a critical part. I think this is where a lot of these, you know, businesses struggle with this part. You also need to do research. You have to continuously research your competition. You have to research the people who do it better than you and learn from them. That's a critical part. And the last one, last but not least, I know they always say last but not least, is staff culture. The culture that you breed from the time you hire people that work for you, the culture that you breed and you create within your team, it resonates on the performance of the whole business. You know, these are critical things. So you can never compromise on.
And I congratulate you, as Darren has said, and spotlight on those really clear points that you've told our listeners this morning on Spotlight. The other interesting thing I'd like to share with you that I think is important, and I think you'll agree with both Darren and my, we try to do our homework and think about things, is clear communication. So that people are very clear about the vision, what you're doing, what they're buying, what they're selling, so that there's no ambiguity. And I think that's one of the most important skills that business people and all people should have, is to be able to communicate. And I don't care how simple it is, but to communicate so that people truly understand there's no wriggle room in that dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think it's better to over-communicate. When you can, over-communicate, because there'll be people there that will need it. And you'll never miss out on that. So definitely.
I totally agree with that. Exactly. Communicate as much as you can. You might communicate seven times and then the message is heard once. And that's what I always think. And we love to do that here on Spotlight. Just before you go, Richard, what does the future hold for you currently? Sorry, Antoine, Richard, your brother. What does the future hold for you currently in this time and age?
Look, ultimately, you know, we are integral members of the community. We're really happy that, you know, we live near the stores where our stores are. Our children go to local schools. We participate in the local community. And what we want to do is we want to reinvest into our local community and grow our number of stores. So our focus is to completely build the Mint Fresh IGA brand and to keep on growing in terms of our number of stores. And our focus will be, you know, in the hills and in the northwest and so on. And that's our focus. We want to bring that kind of passion for fresh food, that community focus to more communities around us.
Anton, thanks for joining Darren and I on Spotlight. It's been a real pleasure to have you in really challenging times give a positiveness and some really important takeaways that can help people, particularly those small businesses. We wish you all the best. We'd love to have you come on again later and tell us part of your journey. It's, again, if I can just summarise, thank you, Anton, the owner of Mint Fresh IGA at Baulkham Hills. It's been a real pleasure to have you on our show this morning.
Thank you, Darren and Jim. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you and have a great morning.
Alive 90.5.